most celebrated families in England is haunted not by a ghost, but by a ghost story. This family has given many noble sons to the service of the country, statesmen, public benefactors, soldiers, and legal men. Let's call them the Pentons, though that's not really their name, of course. A noble family whose family escutcheon was blotted badly back in the 18th century by the black sheep of the Pentons, Tom Byrne. And it was Tom who was carried off finally by a veiled female phantom. And today people still inquire about this wraith-like lady. Was it really a ghost who put an end to the career of the bad Lord Panton? Or is there another explanation?
Suspense. The unusual, the unexpected, life, death, and sometimes something in between. Suspense.
Tom's notorious career began at an early age, while still a schoolboy at Eton.
A boy with the most startling range of knowledge and accomplishments.
Well, sir, is that not something to be commended? The purpose of education, I've always assumed,
is to broaden a boy's knowledge and add to his accomplishments. I agree with you, sir, but much of the knowledge acquired by your son hardly comes within our curriculum at Eton. Gypsies, for instance.
Gypsies?
Yes, he's on the most intimate terms with them.
Really?
And some people may wonder where gypsies go in the winter. Not your son. He knows.
Oh.
And you and I, sir, know that prize fighters exist, but your son talks to them in their own jargon.
You're a healthy masculine trait, Doctor. A shade unconventional, I'll admit.
Oh, your son is nothing if not masculine, Lord Panton. For a boy of 15 to be so well informed about the more voluptuous aspects of the feminine figure, one can only assume...
Eh?
Exactly, my lord.
At the age of 17, he went shooting with his father in Scotland. The game he stalked covered a wider field than his father had intended.
Tom, I want to talk to you.
Something wrong, father?
Douglas, the gamekeeper. He's come to me with complaints.
Oh? What cause should he have to complain?
It seems he has an 18-year-old daughter.
Oh, yes, indeed he has. And a wife who looks like the girl's elder sister. That's too good for the fellow, both of them.
Sir, that's hardly for you to say.
Oh, but it is, father, believe me.
Those two women, sir.
Are interesting, father, most interesting to a curious man.
Curious?
I've made observations, father, on Scottish ladies. They are well-built and handsome, also kind and gentle. It is their general character to be free with their favours before marriage and extremely sparing with them afterwards.
Sir,
so why should Douglas come to you with complaints? Jealousy, I suppose.
17 years old?
At 21, young Tom's reputation had become a byword. By the time he'd finished with Oxford, the stories whispered about him were no longer youthful high spirits. There were whispers of a tragedy, hushed up, darkly hinted at. He became engaged, at his father's wish, to Anne Peel, daughter of a general. But his own inclinations led him elsewhere.
Tell me about your husband, Valerie.
You know my husband.
Well, not as well as you do. My father speaks well of him.
Huxford is a worthy man.
Oh, these worthy men are the plague of my life.
How then?
Well, forever I must be consoling their wives. Can no one point out to them the fault lies in their worthiness?
Sir, I'm a burden to you.
Oh, no, not you, my sweet. It's others I'm talking of.
You... me?
I am insulting.
Bragging of others at a time like this.
Oh, no, not bragging. A plague on all the others. Oh, Valerie, you are the woman I've been seeking all my life.
All your life? Oh, come now.
Don't laugh at me.
All your life at, what, 23?
Yes, 23. Sometimes I think my life is over already. Well, I could be beyond redemption, Valerie. Unless you save me.
My poor wild boy. What are you talking about?
If I told you, you'd be afraid of me.
Is it the girl at Oxford? The one who worked in the tavern?
What do you know of that?
Just the whispers, one here.
Chrysler, we'll not talk of that now. Oh, Valerie.
A minute ago, I was the one you were seeking.
It was you that I'm forever seeking, but will you be on me with your husband and your children?
And Anne Peel? What about her? Your betrothed.
Anne? Well, she's impossible. Oh, I'll own that the lady is both amiable and beautiful, but she's cold as an anchorite. She may make a tame husband a good wife, but she's not the kind of lady to handle a wild and amorous one. Oh, Valerie, my love.
Tom, you know I love you, but what is there for us?
Oh, leave Huxford, that worthy man.
And if I left him, what of us in the future? I'm 10 years older than you, Tom.
You'll never be any different to me.
I wonder, shall you say that to me in 10 years' time?
Valerie, if you'd save me...
What is it?
Who is she? Who is that woman?
Woman? What woman? Where?
Well, don't you see her? Her face is veiled, but...
My dear, you're ill.
Ill? Yes, perhaps I am. Well, I so shouldn't be imagining veiled women in the half-light, in the shadows of the room. But I didn't imagine her.
Tom, we're alone.
Oh, yes, we are now. What day is this?
Day?
Yes, day of year, the month.
The ninth day. The ninth day of July.
Yes, I thought it was. I had to be sure.
Tom.
It was the ninth day of July last year that she died because of me, that girl at Oxford.
Tom, you didn't think it was she. But you saw...
No. The one I saw was tall and slim and beautiful.
You said she was veiled.
Oh, veiled or not, I sensed her beauty.
It was because of what happened a year ago this day.
You saw no one. You're overstrained. There was no one. You understand?
Yes. But that wasn't the last of her. One day she'll come again.
And at the risk of appearing old-fashioned, the simple fact is that you brought disgrace on the family.
Oh, come now, Father.
I have borne with your behavior and tried to excuse it. I've called it sportiveness, youthful high spirits, when all the time I knew otherwise. I defended you before others, but I couldn't deceive myself.
This family is steeped in public-spirited morality.
What's that?
Stodgy and petrified. One of us had to break out sometime. Do the family good.
The girl at Oxford. That will do the family good?
It's not fair to bring that up against me.
They found her drowned.
Well, I didn't drown her.
You made love to her, then deserted her. Isn't that true?
What else did she expect? She worked in the tavern.
Perhaps you can't be blamed entirely. Young men commit indiscretion.
Am I to be haunted by it all my life?
What concerns me now is your current disgraceful behavior.
Disgraceful?
It's no wonder that Anne has broken off her engagement to you.
Never had I any desire to marry her. It was your wish, Father, not mine.
The daughter of one of my oldest friends.
Well, that's hardly a reason for marriage between me and his daughter.
This flagrant affair between you and a married woman. The mother of two young girls.
But Huxford would set her free.
There will be no question of that. You will leave England. You understand?
Banishment, Father.
If you choose to call it that.
It's not what I choose.
The family has been embarrassed too much. Work out your youthful follies somewhere else. Not in England. Return when you can conduct yourself as a Panton.
Very well. I shall do as you wish, Father.
Tom Panton carried out his father's wishes with spectacular zeal. During the next 2 years, he painted black blots on the escutcheons of many fine families in such cities as Paris, Berlin, Milan, and Venice. He fought duels. He gambled extravagantly. Finally, it was the death of his mother that brought him back to England. When the good lady had been laid to her final rest, he once more sought out Valerie Huxford.
Tom, you mustn't see me.
You agreed to this meeting.
Yes, but only to tell you that it must be our last.
This is hardly what I expected.
Tom, dear, please listen to me.
I am listening.
You left England 2 years ago because of a scandal that threatened to engulf
us. That weighed so strongly with you, Valerie. Malicious tongues meant more to you than our love.
I have my daughters to think of.
Thought for your maternal duties comes a little late, it seems to me.
But not too late. Tom, I was swept away by your passion, but it was wrong.
Was it?
Huxford has forgiven me. I do my best now to make him a good wife.
How touching.
I had no other choice. From what I've heard, you've not behaved exactly like a broken-hearted man these past 2 years.
Look, I've behaved as I've done to try to blot out the memory of you. But I've never succeeded. You've always come back to my mind, the unattainable. Oh, Valerie.
No, Tom, please. Don't make it harder for me. I'm doing my duty. I'm living my life in the only way I can.
Very well, Mistress Huxford, so be it.
Live your life according to your duty, and I'll live mine in the only way open to me. Your servant, ma'am.
Back once more to the continent of Europe. The life of the libertine, the duelist, the gambler. The years went by and left their mark on the handsome features of Tom Fenton and upon his soul. Then came a night in an hotel in Marseille. With him in the parlor was Charles Meade, who'd been his companion in much of his profligate living.
Oh, Charlie, I'm at my wit's end. Somehow my debt to Travancore has to be paid. Well, I've scared the others off by twirling a dueling pistol in front of them, but not Travancore.
There's just one possibility, Tom.
There is?
I'll try Marguerite.
You mean you can borrow money from her?
I'll try.
Oh, you're a good friend, Charlie.
Stay there till I get back. Not too much brandy, Tom.
Well, the bottle's not empty yet. Go along, man. I'll be here.
The candle guttered, casting weird shadows in the dingy parlor. Tom sat at the table, bowed down with the burden of a life he detested, but which had become part of him now, eating into his soul. And then he started. He was no longer alone.
I knew I'd find you one day. I saw you for a moment in England years ago, but then it was only a vision. Now you're real. The woman I've been seeking who'll bring me peace. Come, lift your veil. Let me see your face. Oh, but please let me see you.
Tom?
Where is she? Where has she gone? Charlie, did you see her?
I saw no one.
Oh, she was here. She was here, the veiled lady.
What veiled lady?
I'll never know peace till I find her again.
Time passed. Death came to Lord Penton, and Tom returned to England to succeed to his father's title and settle finally in London. The veiled lady of the shadows remained in his mind. Whether she was real or a phantom, Tom couldn't be sure, even in the secret places of his own soul. The passing of time brought other changes. Valerie Huxford, uncertain, tentative, called on the new Lord Penton in his London home.
It's been a long time, Tom.
8 years since last we met.
Much has happened since then.
Well, has it, Valerie? That's all of one's point of view. To me, everything's happened and nothing.
I thought you'd have married by now.
Can you see me in that role?
You said once a woman might have saved you.
Saved me from what? I'm answerable to no one now, Valerie. My father, heaven rest his worthy soul, has gone to his reward. The family name is in my care. Do you not find me a worthy custodian of the Penton name?
It's not for me to judge.
You find me changed.
We're both changed.
Well, nothing stands still.
Tom, I'm a widow now.
Yes, I know.
You'd heard?
Oh, yes, I heard that the worthy Huxford had left us.
Oh, I thought perhaps...
I thought what, Valerie?
That you might have come to see me, knowing I was a widow.
Oh, yes, I should have sent you condolences. It was remiss of me.
Is that all?
Oh, should there be something more?
Now I must humble myself.
Whatever for?
Tom, we were in love, you and I. Do I have to remind you? The passion, the wild, stolen love that might have sent our lives up in flames.
But it didn't, my dear. Duty prevailed. How long ago was that, Valerie? 10 years? Yes, it was. 10 long years ago.
I remember what you said. You'll never be any different to me. And I said... Say that to me in 10 years' time.
Well, you see how wise you were.
I should have known better than to come here today.
Oh, but it's always good to see old friends. Well, tell me, your daughter, the eldest one, Jocelyn, how old is she now?
19.
Oh, a woman. She beautiful?
Yes, quite.
19. I'd like to see her.
I'll go now. I won't bother you any more.
Your other daughter, Margaret.
Margaret is 17.
You know, I should do something for them, introduce them to the ways of society, don't you think?
Would you call my carriage?
But Charlie Meade said he saw you the other day.
Yes. We talked about you.
Ah, he's a good fellow, Charlie. Not stable, of course, but what's one to expect? Oh, Valerie, I'll tell you what. Now, this weekend, I'll give a party.
You and your lovely daughters will be my guests.
No, thank you.
Ah, but I insist. And after all, I must do something for your daughters, Valerie. You could almost say it was my duty.
But, Tom, this weekend I'm giving a party. I wanted you to come.
And so I shall, Charlie.
Well, if you're having a party here...
Ah, but that will be Friday night. By Saturday night I shall be with you in Dartford, with the widow and her two beauteous daughters.
Doesn't that please you?
Tom, they're Valerie's daughters. Don't you think...
Don't preach at me. Doesn't come well from you.
All right, Tom.
I have to fill my life. Fill it with whatever comes my way until...
Until what? Will you find her again?
Find who?
The veiled lady.
Oh, no. She'll find me in the end. Don't expect us, Charlie. We'll be with you on Saturday night.
Tom.
Oh, Valerie, you're not enjoying yourself?
Come away from this crowd. I want to talk to you.
Leave my guests, my friends.
Do as I say.
Carry on with the party. The night is young.
In here, where we can be private.
Well, Widow Huxford?
Do as you please with the light women that come your way, but not my daughters.
Justin is a warm-blooded wench, I'm ready to wager. She'd have her mother's blood in her, that one.
To think that you were once a man who spoke of seeking salvation in a woman. The ideal, the unattainable.
I seek it still.
Look at yourself in a glass. Is this where your seeking has brought you? You're depraved beyond redemption.
Late that night, alone in his bedroom, the door locked behind him, Tom Panton brooded on his past, his present, his future. The shadows in the room seemed to move darkly around him like living things, or ghosts. Ghosts from the wretched years he'd lived.
She'd brought me face to face with my life. Depraved. Beyond redemption. She's right. This has been the final monstrosity. To think of her daughter in that way. Valerie's daughter. If I've come to that, it's time an end was reached.
Yes, Tom. Time indeed.
You're here. You've come.
Didn't you know that I would, in the end?
Oh, yes, always. I've dreamed about you, but you've always been beyond my reach. Oh, now you're here at last to save me.
To bring you peace, Tom.
Well, I've seen you before when my life has been at its lowest ebb. But this is the moment of truth, and you haven't failed me. Lift your veil so I can see your face.
There'll be time enough for that.
You will bring me peace?
In the only way you can know it. I've come to tell you, you'll die, Tom.
Die?
Prepare yourself.
I'll have a few months. A year, perhaps.
Only a day. Tomorrow night. At this time. That is all the time you have.
Please don't go. Come back.
One day only. Tomorrow night.
Well, madam, now we shall have the truth of it. Last night you were here in this room.
Hardly.
Oh, yes, you were. I've had time to think about it. Through the dark hours before dawn. It's perfectly obvious in the light of day. Charlie Mead told you about that, didn't he?
About what?
That I saw her again years ago in Marseille, or thought I saw her. That veiled woman I saw that night with you. Or thought I saw her.
You saw her again last night in this room?
No, madam, I saw you. To revenge yourself upon me, you came in here in the darkness with your face veiled, taking advantage of my distress, trying to frighten my life away. Well, you won't succeed.
Tom, look at the door.
The door?
You see? The key is in the lock on this side. You retired in anger last night, shouting that you were locking your door against everyone. Is that what you did?
Yes, I did. And this morning that door was still locked. The key on this side as I'd left it.
So, I could not have entered.
she was here.
Nonsense. You imagine...
No, no, no. This time she spoke. Her words were quite clear. Vannery, you won't leave me here today. You'll stay with me, you and your girls. Promise me.
You want us to?
Oh, yes. You'll be my safeguard against her. Well, with you here, it can't happen.
But what of Dartford? Charlie Mead?
No, 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 not now. I must stay here to see it through. The only way I can be free of this haunting. If you stay with me, I'll live through it.
Tom, what did she say?
She said that I'll die tonight. But not if you're here. You'll be my protection. And then tomorrow, when the danger's past, then we'll go to Charlie's.
Charles Mead at Dartford had a house full of guests that day. Hourly, he expected the arrival of his friend Tom Panton, accompanied by Mrs. Huxford and her daughters. But they didn't come. Soon after midnight, Mead retired to his bed. Sometime later, he awoke with a start. A clock was chiming the hour.
Who's there? Who is it?
Oh, so you've turned up at last, Tom. Oh, not before time either. Well, thank you for letting me know you're here. Well, you didn't really have to wake me at this hour. What's the matter with you? Well, all right, if you're playing a game, it's gone far enough. Oh, man, don't stand there like a ghost.
It's all over with me, Charlie.
Tom. For the love of heaven. Tom!
Next day, by coach, Mrs. Huxford hurried to Dartford. She was received by a white-faced man still trembling from the experience of the night that had passed.
Valerie, you come alone?
Yes, I had to see you. No one else would believe the story.
Tom?
Yes. He's dead, Charlie. He died last night.
I know.
You know? Someone has been here before me.
I know from Tom himself.
Tom? But it isn't possible. He died last night in London, in his bed.
Tell me the way of it.
The house was quiet when his man heard a cry come from his room. He hurried there, but it was over. As he gazed at his master, he heard the clock strike the hour.
The hour of two.
How can you know that?
Tom was quicker than you in letting me know it was over. His means of travel was less earthbound.
He said the veiled lady had come the night before to warn him. You believe this?
Why would I not believe it? When Tom himself appeared here minutes after the soul had left his body. And that hour will never pass.
Nonsense, Charlie. It's a bright, sunny morning. You see? 11 o'clock. Charlie, the clock struck two.
I know. Ever since he came, every clock in the house, no matter what the hour, they all strike two.
Did the veiled lady really exist? Was she perhaps the specter of that girl who died at Oxford, as many people averred when the story became known? Or was she the unattainable woman that Tom Panton longed for and never found? And the riddle of the clocks? Who knows? But this we do know. Charles Mead entirely changed his way of life. Why? Because he'd received a warning from the uninvited.
Suspense. The unusual, the the unexpected, life, death, and sometimes something in between. Suspense.